Moise Napone is one of those Christian leaders in Africa who is making a difference. It is our pleasure and privilege at Park Street Church to be part of that ministry with him as we work together with World Relief. John Kyler will read the scripture, and then Moise will present to us what God has laid on his heart tonight. And let me remind you of the literature about World Relief that is on a table in the rear of the sanctuary, and also remind you that Patty McDonald, who is seated right down here, is the Northeast representative for World Relief. And if you want to talk further about World Relief Corporation, be sure to see Patty. John, read to us the Word of God, and then Moise, we look forward to your message from God tonight.
The reading this evening comes from the second book of Kings, chapter 7. We'll be reading verses 3 through 10. Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say, 'We'll go into the city,' then the famine is there, and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let us go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die." At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there, for the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. And they left their camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, "You're not doing right. This is a day of good news and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let us go at once and report this to the royal palace." So they went and called out at the city gatekeepers and told them, "We went into the Aramean camp and not a man was there, not a sound of anyone, only tethered horses and a donkey, and the tents were left just as they were." The gatekeepers shouted at the news, and it was reported within the palace. May our Sovereign Father add his blessing to the ministry of his word this evening.
In French, we say bonsoir. Before I address you tonight, please allow me to make two apologies. First, I'm really humbled to stand here before you to share the word of God. Your country is really blessed with great Christian leaders, and for an African like myself to come here and try to share, I don't really know what I can share. Then I would also like you to bear with me my French accent. I hope you will be able, I would be able to communicate. What I do promise is I would try to share from my heart, and I hope as Christians, we do understand the beat of the heart. Allow me also to thank all of you on behalf of the 1,000 people in West Africa who have been served by your help. Many have their lives changed. We brought meaning to the lives of many people. Many pastors' ministry have been enhanced because you've cared and you've helped them. I would like finally to thank especially Dr. Fisher and my friend and colleague Patty, and the group which visited us in January. I want you to know that you ministered to us and you encouraged us. World Relief Team is encouraged by your visit, and many churches and pastors are really encouraged because you've been there. In the past century, many young people of your beautiful country went out and took the challenge to bring the good news to West Africa. They went to the unknown land, to no man's land. They were motivated by a great passion, the passion for lost souls, and the compassion for the people of Africa. God has honored their faith and courage, and has largely responded to their needs and rewarded their efforts. Today, as my brother just put it a moment ago, the church in Africa is growing very fast, and the dark continent is becoming a lighthouse. The evil strongholds are being torn down, and the grace of God is reaching out to many souls. Every single day, in spite of the pressures from Islam, traditional religions, atheism, Oriental beliefs, and modernism, economic and social issues, there is a clear progress of the Kingdom of God in Africa. The church is growing. Pastors and church leaders are overwhelmed. But with such growing, we are confronted by the many issues that I quoted above. And the church in Africa is facing many challenges. As we read a moment ago, sometimes it looks as if death is everywhere. In the areas where we have drought, famine is coming every year, and the people are confronted with death. Dead trees, dead grass, dead people, dead animals, and they flow into the cities. But even when they get there, they still need for food and need for water. And it looks as if death is also in the city. Sometimes we wonder whether there will be an end, and whether it's worth continuing our effort. But as one of the church leaders in northern Burkina has said, the Lord has not called us to a golden life. We are not called to live easy and idle. We are called to suffer with Christ. And he was telling some of the young pastors who were so concerned that they wondered if they should continue in the ministry or just try to find a job somewhere, some other place, or go to another country. He said, God has called you here. Why don't you wait on him and let him have his way? We read about these four lepers. When they realized that death was everywhere. They went to the Aramean, to the camp. And the Bible says that when they went there, nobody was in the camp because God has made people to leave the camp. What it tells to me is that our God is in charge, is in control. Even though we cannot see things happen as we wish, even if things seem, well, if we pray and we don't see the answer come, we still should realize that God is in control and is acting. Is not just, it's said in the Bible, our God is not just sleeping, is acting, is working. And in Isaiah 59, verse 1, it said that his arm is not short. And here we see that sometimes people in my country and maybe people here are discouraged because they don't see the arm of God in the midst of all the difficulties and trials through which we are walking. But we need to realize that God is in control. And when the time comes, he would act, and he would always act in favor of his children. Last year, the leaders of the church in northern Burkina prayed for rain. The rain didn't come. And they prayed for food. We were there visiting them. And together we prayed because we didn't know where to get the money to buy food. We prayed and one organization in Europe sent. When I went back there, everyone realized that it was the answer to our prayer. Now, sometimes we feel that when we pray, things would happen a certain way, the way we want them to happen. But here, God was acting. He was moving the heart of people. And at the precise time, he sent the means to be able to serve these people in need. Another idea which comes from this text is our reaction when God acts. We want to be in control. We want to be the people who would really control everything. When we read our text, it is said here that the people said the king of Samaria has hired the Hittites and Egyptians. We don't want to see, sometimes we don't want, we are not patient enough, or we're not open enough to see God work. But back in Africa, because of the difficult situations, the people have come to realize that we can only depend on God. And many of our people, I say that they believe against faith. I mean, their faith Sometimes you look around. Why do you really believe that things would happen? Because there is no sign. There is nothing which proves that something would happen. But they keep believing. And I feel that's why I ask you to pray for these people in order to keep believing. And because they keep believing, God acts, God works, God intervenes. But most of the time, because of our logic, because of our scientific mind, we just say that, well, unless there is a proof, unless we can prove it, unless we can touch it, unless we can see it, then it's not God who is doing it. Well, at least we want to do it ourselves. It's not God who is doing it. We want to do it with our hands. I remember again one of our pastors who gave this testimony. He said, one day one of my children had a headache, and I called the doctor. And the child told the father, "Why do you pray for people who are sick? And when I'm sick, you just call the doctor. Why don't you pray for me?" And the pastor said that was a great lesson that he learned from his son. Because very often, if we can do it ourselves, we have the control, we can handle things ourselves, then we are more satisfied. But we should learn to depend on God. And I think because we cannot do it ourselves in Africa, we've learned to depend on God. It's not the king. The king was in a terrible situation. I know everyone knows the story. He couldn't even judge. He couldn't go out of his own city. So how can he hire people to do it? But we want to explain everything logically. And then we don't want to see the hand of God in our lives. We don't want to see the hand of God doing things for us. The third thing which comes from this text is that when these lepers went into the camp, they found nobody there. They did something which is very important. They went to one of the tents, took gold, took ate. They were satisfied and they started taking gold, taking everything they have, all the riches. And the Bible says they went and hid. Now, I want you to realize that these were the lepers. They were people who were cast out. They are people who were rejected by the society. They didn't have a say in the organization of their society. They could be considered as the poor people. And yet we are surprised by the way they act. They started piling things. They became very greedy and they became very selfish when they had the opportunity. Sometimes we, from the third world, we condemn some of the people in the the first world. And we say that if the riches were equally distributed, we would be better. And yet here, I don't understand why people who are in that situation should have should be so greedy that they started piling things. I think that's in our nature. And what I want to get here is that don't be discouraged when you hear that some people in some countries don't let things get to the people. Very often, people ask me, well, I heard that when we send things over there, some people keep those things and they don't get it to the poor. That might be true. These people might be like those lepers who are corrupted, who have a corrupted mind, or at least try to put as much as they could for themselves. But there are also people who want really to help. And sometimes, because of those who don't want to help, we don't give opportunity to serve those who are really in need. Then, when we come to the point where these people realize that what they were doing is not good, and I pray that in every African country, people would realize that keeping things for themselves instead of sharing these things, instead of giving away, instead of giving to those who are in need. I pray that in Africa, all the people would realize that is not good and would change and start serving. But I pray also that people here would still have a tender heart and see the needs. You see, what this tells me, because it's talking about the kingdom, the king's, the kingdom. And what I see in that is the kingdom of God. We have to share. There is a good news that we have. We have a good news, and we can make a good news for many people by sharing. We can be the good news for many people. You remember our Lord Jesus? Wherever he went, he had that good news. Good news for the blind. They start to see and they rejoice in the Lord. Good news for the leper. He become pure. He can go back home. Good news for the people who are rejected, because Jesus fellowshiped with them. Good news for people who are limp, they can walk. Good news for everyone. And we want to be a good news and not a bad news. We want you and us, the church, to be a good news to this world. Through our ministry, both spiritual and physical, we want to show that we have something for this world. We want to break the news so that many people would hear that Jesus is the Savior. I think it's something difficult for me in my area, but it's also difficult for you in your area. There are many things which can be, can impede, can hinder what that good news to break. In my area, it might be food. Because, as I said this morning, empty bellies have no ears. People don't understand when a pastor talks about the love of Christ, the compassion of Christ, and all these things, the good things that Jesus has brought to him, when he looks around and sees nothing. Where is the love? Where is the compassion? I remember what Dr. Fisher said when he came back from Mali. He said, when he asked the pastors what their plans were, they said food. Food became a blockade. And sometimes we could, it's not much we can take out that blockade in order to, for the good news to reach out to the people. Brothers and sisters, the Lord has been with us. And with your help, we have been able through the years, because I've been working for 10 years now, to make a good news in our area. For those who couldn't read, we have taught them. And now they can read the Bible. And they have the good news. Because reading the Bible gives strength to the church. For those who didn't have food, we have helped them by doing some gardens, by distributing food, by training farmers in order to produce better and more, by bringing new technologies. And now they are rejoicing in the Lord because they have the good news. And this good news, they can easily go and preach because they know that God is working in their lives. In the churches in Ouagadougou, where many poor people are attending, have started a poverty lending project, and we help people to, we lend small amount of money to people in order to create the revenue themselves and to be able to depend on their own revenue. They rejoice in the Lord because they have the good news. Mothers who have malnourished children, mothers who have problems with their children, they can now go and learn from the centers we have created. They learn to nourish their children and also to take care of them. We teach also fathers to take care of their children. And that is changing their lives. And they become a good news for the community. You know, sometimes it's difficult when the Christian is exactly in the same situation as the others, and the others wonder, what is the difference? But because you've helped us and we've worked with the church, there is a difference. And many people realize that there is a difference. As the church ministers to the spiritual and physical needs of the people, doors are open in various communities, and many people come to the Lord, not just because they have received some food, but they've come to understand that there is a real love in Jesus Christ, and that Jesus has compassion for them. And in one of the villages in northern Burkina, we put in a well. And this well was a very simple thing. But then an evangelistic team came after. And people came because when the evangelistic team came, they referred to them as the people who put the well in our village. And 167 people came to Christ in that village. And now there is a church in that village. I won't say that doing a well can change the spiritual life of people, but it's a means which opens people to hear the good news. That's why I'm saying that we can be the good news. We can make the good news. We can break the good news. And there are many people who are in chains. Because Africa, although the church is growing, Africa is still the stronghold of Satan and demonic spirits. We need a strong good news. We need a good news which would break this stronghold of Satan. So, I want your support, and I feel that many people in Africa want you to pray for us in order to go in word and deed with the healing and transforming gospel to the needs of the people and bring them to see our Lord Jesus Christ and to accept His salvation. May the Lord bless you richly in Jesus' name.